And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. It took 6 weeks, but we are finally talking about the Giants' first victory of the season. They knock off the Broncos 23-10 in Denver. A lot to like in terms of the performance from the Giants last night in terms of the rushing attack. Very opportunistic on defense, stopping Denver's run, making third down stops. So we'll get into all of that, plus your phone calls as well as your tweets. Let's start on offense first, Jeff. And
all right.
We talked about this on the postgame show last night. This is a Denver team that comes in number one against the run in the National Football League. They're only surrendering 50 yards per game, and the Giants managed to double that and then some. Darkwa over 100 yards. He had 5.6 yards per carry. It was his decision-making and finding the hole, but most important, the offensive line, specifically the right side.
Well, I think that this offensive line over the last 3 weeks has developed some continuity, even though they have had little, you know, interchanging pieces, you know. But I think they found a spot for Justin Pugh out at right tackle and DJ Fluker at right guard. That seems to be working. You look at the production out of the running game the last 2 weeks, and especially now last night's game. So these guys are they played a heck of a football game last night. Not a lot of penalties. Okay, you had one set of penalties where both the tackles moved at the same time. So that tells you that maybe I don't know what happened there, but they were both on cue. So, but the fact is that these guys really played up front, physical, heavy-handed football, as Coach McAdoo likes to call it. They went out there. They converted on some third downs. They actually they protected Eli. You had a guy in Von Miller that's just been – he can wreak havoc in a game, and he was limited to one sack, and that's it. So when you look at the production of the offensive line last night, you got to tip your hat to them because they were a big – big part of that 149-50 yards of rushing that Darkwa had. And listen, this is something he's gaining confidence. He saw the holes. He was patient. And the other thing, too, is that they lined him up in the backfield a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage than they normally have, which is being hit the hole quicker. The offensive line closed their splits up a little bit, and they were able to attack that defensive line and that front seven of the Broncos that have been stout against the run all season, as you mentioned, Lance.
DJ Fluker had a great block where he moved right to left to open that lane for the 47-yard run for Darkwa. Darkwa actually had five runs, Jeff,
yep,
of 14 or more yards. And this is a Denver team. The longest run they surrendered in the first few weeks of the season was a 21-yard run by Melvin Gordon of the Chargers. Darkwa alone had a 20-yard run and a 47-yard run. So it wasn't just the fact that the Giants constantly kept setting the tone with the ground game, but they were getting big chunks of yardage on mm-hmm. the ground. I think that was by far the most impressive part of the performance.
And that's just all up front. I mean, that is a hat on a hat, responsibility, fundamentals, executing the play that's called and hitting the hole, getting up to that second level, making the linebacker miss, and then having your safety or the corner come and make the play. That is perfect football, and that's how you get big plays in the running game.
Wide receivers, I think that goes unnoticed, really helped in terms of
yes.
setting the edge and blocking as well.
And these young guys, you know, the game plan going into it, we talked about it on our pregame show, was the fact that the Giants were going to have to get the running game going because of the inexperience of those wide receivers. You got Roger Lewis, is the veteran out there that's played the most snaps this season at the one of the positions. Now you got Tavares King, who played on this team last year, but really didn't have a lot of production from the wide receiver spot. So, you know, run the football. But these young guys got a little taste of the game, but they did an amazing job blocking downfield legally and really helping the running game by doing what their assignments are, and that's to stay on their blocks and get the guy out of the way for Darkwa.
Well, and that was key because if you look at the numbers, Wayne Goleman was actually the second leading receiver with two catches. Lewis King and Adams each had one. So Evan Engram did a lot of the damage. He had five catches for 82 yards. And they seemed to find a lot of openings in the middle of the field as well as the touchdown catch out of the flat where they were able to get him matched up on a linebacker and a safety, and they took full advantage of that.
Well, one thing that you can do when you are able to run the football is be able to set up the play action pass. And that helps. And Eli and Evan Engram, that buys him a little bit of time. On some of the third down, third and longs, you need a little bit more time. When you're running the football, you're able to use play action. And really, when we talked about Evan Engram, we knew that he was going to get involved in the football game a little bit more because of his speed, his versatility, being able to play with his hand in the dirt, playing in the slot position and move him around. And far as a mismatch on a linebacker or a safety, he's going to win that battle. As long as Eli has the protection and able to throw the ball to him, it's going to be fine. And you saw exactly what happened last night. He had over 80 yards receiving, and the fact that he's just going to get better and better. Teams are now – he's going to have a letter on his back now, or a target, excuse me, because they know that this is the Giants team that's going to have to go and throw the ball to him before these young guys can get a little bit more experience.
Well, and as you noted, you figure that over the course of the next few weeks, as guys like Travis Rudolph and Ed Egan are going to be as part of the number one team in practice, gain a little bit more chemistry with Eli Manning, because although there are familiar faces that Manning was working with yesterday, meaning that have been on the field in preseason, have taken part in practice, they have mostly been a part of the scout team, which means Eli's not necessarily working with them. He's been working with Shepard, Beckham, and Marshall. So the dynamics are going to change a little bit in practice moving forward.
And one good thing moving forward is, so you had a week of practice last week, because of what happened the game before. You're going to have a week of practice this week. Then you have another week of practice the following week because it's the bye week. And then the following week, you're going into your game week after the bye. So really, the bye couldn't have come at a better time for the Giants
for
to get healthy and as far as getting some chemistry with those young receivers. I thought last night if the Giants fell behind in this game and was forced to go out and throw the football, that there probably would have been a little bit more turnovers in this game, because I thought that Eli would have some miscommunications with some routes and some responsibilities on the young receivers, guy running it out when he should have ran it in, and there's the interception, tip balls, things like that. But the Giants were able to run the football, and Eli Manning throws for 128 yards, was it?
19 attempts. That's it.
They ran
the ball 32 times.
And Eli, he was pretty clean. Came out of the game very, very clean, and that's I'm just telling you, we talked about this. Like, you're not going to win games like this every week. You're going to be forced to throw the football at times, but at least it buys you some more time to get some help for these young guys to learn the system and create some continuity and some rhythm with Eli.
Well, everything that had to go right to beat Denver in Denver went right, because you just noted they had more runs than passes, and that's what you want to do when you play a team like the Broncos, because you want to win time of possession, you want to wear down their defense.
Right.
So mission accomplished there, Jeff. They also had a number of manageable third downs as a result of running the ball effectively.
Correct.
They didn't necessarily convert all the third downs, but it wasn't like you were looking at third and 15s, third and 20s, some of the issues that they had that had plagued them in previous games. And then on the flip side, what the defense did is stop the run, got off the field on third down. This is a Denver offense, Jeff, that came in number 6th in the NFL in third down conversion rate, nearly 50%. Number 3 in the NFL in rushing the football, 143 yards per game they were averaging. The Giants held them to 46 yards on 17 carries, 2.7 yards per carry. So the Giants' defense took a huge step forward, accomplishing things that the four previous opponents that went up against Denver had a very hard time doing consistently.
They put Denver in a situation that the offense doesn't like to get into, and that's forcing Simeon to throw the football
50 times.
There you go.
He threw the football.
And when he gets over 30, we had the play-by-play announcer for the Broncos on our show last night, and he had mentioned that any time that Trevor Siemian had thrown the ball over 30 times, that he had only won the game 3 out of, I believe it was 6 or 8 games. So there's the formula to win. Stop the run, force him to make some throws, and he will turn it over. 3 interceptions last night. That's what happens. And, the defense stepped up. And I think that, we didn't talk about this much last night, Lance, on the show, is the fact that, there are certain times in the season when there are sequences that happen, and then it kind of gives the team a big boost. It's like a vitamin B12 shot. And I think that goal line stand last night that the Giants were able to do, that is a huge, huge plus for this team, showing that they can play with anybody, especially a team that can run the football in the red zone the way that Denver Broncos do. It was a big play in that game, and not to mention the way that all of them stepped up. They still had injuries. Olivia Vernon was out. You had the DRC suspension. You got Landon Collins, who's a little bit gimpy out there. You got a guy like Eli Apple, who comes into the game, is just getting torched all over the place. Teams are game planning around him. He had his best game of the season. And then, of course, you got Janoris Jenkins, who's just, he plays out of his mind normally. He's such a good player. You almost have to give him the pass interference calls here and there because he makes up for it. I mean, he was the first guy at the lowest point of that pile on that goal line stand.
Underneath.
I mean, you look at him, he was right underneath there. And he just plays so hard for you. And I thought that really when we talk about Keenan Robinson coming in and taking over for Casillas being out of the lineup, you saw a little bit of Calvin Munson in there, but he ended up getting hurt.
Quad injury.
So that put a little bit more pressure on Keenan Robinson because, really, Keenan Robinson, you don't want him to be your starting middle linebacker because he's really just a third-down backer. And the fact that, you know, Munson was a guy that has already had two starts in this season. So, but him going out put a lot of pressure on Keenan Robinson and did really a nice job.
He did a nice job in coverage. You noted Eli Apple. I thought it was two bounce-back performances by those two in particular. And Jenkins, he helped out on the goal line stand. He had a forced fumble. Great heads-up play in
great
which he stripped the ball from Demaryius Thomas. Eli Apple was able to recover it. And then, of course, the pick six when he jumped the route. And I was listening to his commentary with reporters after the game and what he mentioned.
Which is
Jeff,
always fun.
Which is always fun, exactly, to see the give and take between the player and the media. I mean, we hear a little bit of the radio, but not the entirety of it. And he had mentioned that during the game, he was noting the routes by the receivers. He went back to the coaching staff and said, hey, this is the type of run they're going about their business with. How should I now counter it? And they said, listen, we give you the green light. If you have an opportunity to jump the route, jump the route. So that's an example of adjustments being made throughout the course of the game.
That's an example of communications between players and coaches and acting on it rather than the player just not saying a thing and then going and doing it and then getting torched. At least if he was to get torched, that the coaches were to understand that that's his why. He didn't tell us about it. Then you're just sitting there going, what the heck is he doing? But, you know, there's you have to take chances in the National Football League. And really, those chances a lot of times are pretty much calculated ones because of exactly what you just said. They were seeing the types of routes they were running. They were picking up on it. And that's a good, smart football play.
The defense stops all across the board. Everybody really stepped up. JPP, three sacks.
Yeah,
matched
I mean,
a career high.
I think that, you know, big players in big games make big plays, and he did. And that's kind of a cliche you look upon in the locker room. And, you know, JPP had told reporters earlier in the week that, look out, I was going to have a good game, and he backed it up. But that's the leadership you need. That's the leader on the field showing you what he can do. And then before the game, talking to the guys. This team, there were so many distractions going on, but they were able to isolate it. They were able to come together. One goal, go down to Denver, which I had mentioned last week that this probably was a good thing for this team to get away from here and collectively get on a plane together and get to the hotel and be together and understand that this was all about the 53 guys that are in that locker room and nobody else. And they went out there and played a heck of a game. Great game plan. We saw we knew nothing about the play calling until last night. Mike Sullivan, I thought, called a really, really good game. I don't know exactly how much bantering there was going back and forth between Ben McAdoo and Mike Sullivan during the game, but whatever it was, I think that it worked, and I saw a little bit more balance, if you will. A lot of runs to the right, a lot of runs to the left, up the middle, play action here. Nothing that you could really, except there was a couple, you know, second and tens, second and twelves, you knew there was a draw coming. There's always a draw coming on second and ten, second and twelve.
Well, they stuck to the run, which is really the main point I think that you're alluding to, Jeff, the fact that when you look over the course of the last few games, and there has been some promise in terms of running the football, but to run the ball 32 times against the number one rushing defense and not shy away from it, because every run wasn't great. I mean, there were a few no gains. There was one negative
run. I'll give you an example of that. That whole situation is late in the fourth quarter. The Giants were forced with a third and six, okay? And the Giants, they chose to run the football on a third and six because the way their defense was playing, they could say, you know what, let's put the defense – that's confidence. They've said that before. We're going to put the team on the field to help us win the game. That hasn't been the success as of late, but it did work this week. But like you said, they kept it a run. They kept it a run. Third and six, let's run the football. And if we make it, great. If not, we're not going to put ourselves in – and we're not going to drop back to pass and – risk an interception, a forced fumble, something to get these guys back in the game. Let's just run the football and punt and put our defense on the field.
How many times have we talked about a Giants game, Jeff, where the opponent, they have confidence in their running game.
Oh,
the Giants know they're going to run the
football.
Almost
every week.
Correct. And the opposing team still does that, right? It was flipped last night. The Giants knew they could run the football. Denver knew they were going to run the football. The Giants stuck to the run game, and they executed.
And they knew that they could put their defense on the field, that they didn't convert a first down and be able to stop the other team. So Really an outstanding job, and we finally got to talk about complimentary football. I wish he would have said it in the press conference last night. I didn't hear complimentary football from Coach McAdoo.
No, he did not say it, yeah.
Because we've been waiting 6 weeks for complimentary football, and then he fails to mention complimentary football because it was the ultimate complimentary football last night.
Well, because special teams didn't give up valuable field position.
In fact,
there were a number of balls on the ground, too.
Ed Egan had a nice punt return.
Yeah.
It was a good play. He's a guy that inexperienced back there, and I'm sure he was told just catch the football. When you can, if you do see some daylight, then give it a shot, but make sure you hang on to the football and give the ball back to the offense. That is your job.
Defense got off the field. The offense milked the clock. Special teams didn't sacrifice field position. And one other stat that I want to throw out before we open up the phone lines. This was an issue we talked about in the Chargers game, Jeff, when all those third and longs that L.A. faced, and
yes,
they were able to convert. L.A. was 8 of 18. Well, the Chargers were 5 of 17 on third down. But the fact that of those 17 third downs, 10 were for 7 yards or more.
Okay.
And they converted one of those 10 third downs.
So one of the five they did convert was one of those was over how many yards? 9?
In terms of the
the one that they did convert.
The lengthiest one that they converted, let me see, based on my notes here, was a 3rd and 9. They got the 40-yard pass to Demaryius Thomas. Outside of that.
So one of the five that they did convert, one of them was for 9 yards or more.
Correct.
Other than that, that was it.
Everything else was short yardage, and they did face a number of long ones, but the Giants stayed well-disciplined and were able to contain them and get them off the field. So that was big. And also, C.J. Anderson, a back who, for the most part, was steady for the Denver offense, 9 carries, 17 yards. Jamal Charles, 5 for 19.
So you're the one that usually asks me the questions. So I'm going to ask Lance Meadow a question here.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot because you guys love to put
I
the analysts
it.
And the players on the spot. So you have a situation now where for 3 weeks in a row the Giants have been able to start to get the running game going. You have Weston Richburg, who hasn't played the last 2 weeks, is going to most likely – I don't know. The concussions, you never know about that. But if he was to come back this week, you've got now a changing of the guard everywhere across that line. You've got Justin Pugh playing right tackle, and they sent Bobby Hart to the bench. You got DJ Fluker, who we know can play and run behind him. And then you got the situation I just told you with Jones and now Richburg. And now John Jerry goes over to left guard. Okay, so I think if I was to say what's going to stay consistent is I think that you're going to see Flowers and Jerry, and you're going to see Fluker and Pugh. So does Weston Richburg come back and then, or does Jones take over one of the guard spots?
Well, Jones, speaking of him, he made a beautiful block on the nose tackle on that 15-yard run by Darkwell when they took over right after the goal line stop, and you're all the way back in the opposing end zone. This is the way that I would approach it. And I'm going to take the conservative route only because the bye is coming up, Jeff.
Yeah.
Now, there's still an urgency to go out and continue to build momentum
and win games. Oh, that's a good point. I know where you're
going to
go.
But my point is, if you say to Weston, take the extra week, rest up, recover from the concussion, and then we'll evaluate and determine what we want to do when we self-scout during the bye week. There's more of a reason to keep Brett Jones with the combination of Fluker and Pugh and then see how things go against the Seattle Seahawks. And I would say the same thing for anything else because you're coming off a performance where not only did you have success, Jeff, but you had continuity. And what do we talk about all the time? On the offensive line, it's about all of those guys working in unison. You saw that in this group. Same thing with the defensive players. Spags has been mixing and matching guys, and I think as he sees players step up, you don't want to necessarily ruin that momentum as well and that chemistry. So those are the things that I think you say to yourself, we've got a short week here because of a late-night Sunday game. We're going into a Seattle game at home, and then we have the bye. I don't really think there's the urgency to change things up. If anything, I would stick with it and then evaluate that during the bye week.
And, you look at – there's two ways you could look at this. Is it the way that Jones has been playing at center, or is it the way that Fluker and Jerry have been playing at the guards? So it's the chicken and the egg thing here. So, you do know that Weston Richburg, when he comes back, most likely will get his starting position back. And, you always – the rule of thumb in this league is you never lose your job to injury, but it does happen. But my question is, does Jones, does he now come back and he's just that versatile guy at center guard just because there's going to be some more injuries during the season.
Of course.
It always is. But you know, you think you're lucky stars that you got a guy like Jones that can come in and play the center and
that
the guard
position. That has the versatility.
Positions.
No, yeah. I think that's a great point. Hey, here's another thing to take into consideration, Jeff. You brought up you don't usually lose your starting job to injury. However, with that being said, Bobby Hart was active yesterday.
Yep.
And that shouldn't be overlooked. Despite Bobby Hart being active, they still said we're going to move Pugh back to right tackle and we're going to leave Fluker at right guard because we feel that that is the best combination right now. So, do they take a similar approach with Richburg moving forward? We may be getting ahead of ourselves, yeah. And I don't want to say that this is going to be a trend, but I think that's an example where they're evaluating not just the health of a player, I think they're also evaluating the results based on these guys being next to one another.
But when you're 0-5, you're forced to make changes.
Of course.
And really, when you look at the changes that were made this week with that offensive line change, okay, that was something that had to be done. You look at Coach McAdoo handing the play calling over to Mike Sullivan. With, I will tell you, and a lot of you probably didn't hear the press conference, the question was asked to Coach McAdoo about where the conversation went from why did this happen, and I thought that he made an interesting point, and he said that he felt that he needed to be in the locker room, he needed to be with the players, he needed to be within the organization and down there in the engine room, I call it, because there was a lot of fires to be put out this last week, and I felt that he mentioned that it was more important for him to be around the team.
Available for everybody.
And available for everybody rather than sitting in his office drawing up plays and stuff like that. I'm not telling you that's what he does, but I'm just kind of giving you an idea. Where Mike Sullivan could have full autonomy of making the game plan and putting things because he can concentrate on it, while Coach McAdoo has to put on his head coaching hat, which is what he does. And in a very crucial time during the week with all the distractions going on, it was more important for him to be there for the team.
And he also mentioned that he made that decision on Monday when he decided to give up the play calling. And Eli Manning, when he spoke to the media, said that Ben McAdoo told him on Monday that Mike Sullivan was going to be calling the plays. And as Eli has mentioned numerous times, Jeff, Mike Sullivan calls the plays during practice a lot, so it wasn't as if Eli had to make a tremendous adjustment. It was just a matter of hearing pretty much a similar voice that he's used to hearing during the course of the week.
Well, Mike Sullivan and Eli Manning have been together a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Sully was around when I was on the team back in 07 and 08 and 09. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, that's fine. And really, it's Eli, basically, all he needs to do is the first couple sentences, and he knows the play.
Yeah, he understands the jargon. He's been around long enough with respect to that. All right, let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for tuning in for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Giants improving to 1-5, getting their first victory of the season over the Broncos 23-10. They then return home to host Seattle this coming Sunday before the bye week. All right, Anthony is in Phoenix. He gets us going. Anthony, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance. Good morning, Jeff.
Hello.
Morning to you, Anthony. What do you got for us?
Well, it's morning here. It's afternoon over there.
Understandable. Listen, we've got fans and listeners.
Anthony,
and
where are you at in Phoenix? I'm from Phoenix. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm by the 51 and 101.
101, 51. So you're up north. Okay, good. You love that traffic up there. I'll tell you what, that 101 is just ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what a great day. What a great game, folks. All three phases, just like Coach said. All three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. And I was listening to your pregame, and I always try to get through, but we have a very difficult time getting through. Where do I begin? How about Justin Pugh?
Well, that's a good part. That's a good way to start.
Shutting down Von Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. He shut him down. He had one sack. He got one sack, but that was a cover sack.
Yeah, the three sacks were all covered sacks.
Oh, excellent. It's just unbelievable. What a game. Rosas. How about Rosas hitting a 51-yard field goal?
Yeah, I mean, the one that he missed was blocked, so that wasn't his fault.
Exactly. How about Brad Wing having a great game for a change?
Well, how about Brad? I'll tell you what. Brad Wing, the last 2 weeks, has come back to, as they say in Dumb and Dumber, the movie, to totally redeem himself, right? So what do? You totally redeem himself.
There you go.
I mean, he's come back strong the last 2 weeks, and good for him. Yes.
I mean, it was a great team win all the way around. JPP having a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Tomlinson even having a great game, and Snacks up the middle with
a sack
this time.
Yeah.
And don't you want to ask yourself this question over and over and over? Where has this been? Okay? I mean, when you talk about a team, you were out a bunch of people yesterday. tons of guys hurt, nobody giving you a chance. But, you know, my God, if this team could have played like this going back, they're right in the thick of things in this NFC East. The NFC East has taken a really weird turn of events here. I mean, you got Philly running away with the division. You got Dallas is in third place and the Giants dead last. Everybody thought it would be the reverse of it.
Yeah, it's flipping the script from 2016.
I hate to look back. My wife always used to tell me, I used to say, God, if I could have just hit that ball out of bounds at the five, you know, where she's like, you can't. You can't take it back, so stop talking about it. But I think you're looking forward. You got to say that, you know, that this team now is going to gain some confidence, which we always knew that getting a win would help things in the locker room. And I can tell you from experience, man, does it. It is the biggest injection you could ever get. Walking off, it doesn't matter. Those guys got back at 6:30 this morning. Those guys are on a high right now. They just won a freaking football game, finally. So that's going to help this team going forward.
Oh, yeah. And also, I want to mention, Jeff, how about a few penalties? You know, we got away with a few penalties, but we very few penalties.
Five penalties
game.
Last
clean
night.
Game. And injuries. Thank goodness. I didn't hear any major injuries.
Well, yeah, Calvin Munson was the reserve guy, special teamer, went out with a hamstring injury. But other than that, I think they came out pretty healthy. You know, the penalties, 76 yards. You know, a couple of those were on Jackrabbit.
He had two pass interference calls.
So those were a chunkage of yardage.
Delay of game and a false start, which are things that you want to eliminate because those are usually pre-snap penalties.
Yeah.
And that has been haunting the Giants. But for the most part, clean football.
Sure.
Between the turnovers and the penalties, it was quite a turnaround compared
to last game, they had 10 penalties. Seven of them came in the fourth quarter last week. And when you have seven penalties in the fourth quarter, that's a disaster. That's how you lose football games, and that's how they lost the game last week.
Yeah.
So
and
good
appreciate
point.
The phone call, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you,
Anthony.
Kudos to everyone on the team. What a great game. Offensive line completely. It's so great to call in and not hear the complaints about Flowers. You know, it's just so good. I bet you guys felt good on the drive-in or whatever this morning. Couldn't
absolutely.
Wait to get, here to get all the calls.
Hey, Anthony, you take care of all those Giants fans out in Phoenix because I know there's a lot of them out there. My parents still live out there. My family's all out there. So I know there's a lot of Giants fans in the Phoenix area.
Yeah, we love it. We love it out here, man. We love our Giants. I'll be at the when they come to Cardinals in December 24th.
Very good.
Sounds good, Anthony.
Merry
Appreciate
Christmas.
The phone call. Getting a little ahead of ourselves. Don't rush our lives that much, Jeff.
I know. That means it's going to be cold.
Exactly.
I don't want the cold.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines. Chris is in Syracuse. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing all right, Chris. What do you got for us?
Chris, are you a Syracuse fan? Are you first of all?
What is this going to be Q&A for every caller today?
There's a lot of
excited in a sick kind of way.
Everything's ironic today. I mean, I got a caller from Phoenix.
I know, and now
now Miami is playing Syracuse this weekend after a huge win. Okay, I don't want to spend too much on college football, but hey, you know my Canes are 5-0, and they are ranked 7th, 8th in the country, and they're playing Syracuse at home this weekend. So.
Yeah, well, who would have thought, actually? I mean, I decided I don't know anything anymore. Well, after Syracuse beat Clemson Friday night, I thought, well, maybe the Giants do have a chance.
Oh, well, I was just going to say,
wild
anything
weekend.
Can happen any given Saturday or Sunday.
It's a week-to-week league, as we've learned.
Yep. So, obviously, it's an exciting win. I'm glad. I called last week and said I was excited in a sick kind of way because I wanted to see if McAdoo would, you know, change up what he was doing. Now he's been forced, I think, to change up. And it was really good to see. But the one question I had, and I know Jill's on Tuesdays, but I was hoping maybe you guys could field this, or Jeff, if you got anything for me, I'll take it off the air. But when Justin Pugh came in 13 and 14, he was three-quarters of a disaster at right tackle. Now he's been playing left guard for the last few years, sliding back out to right tackle this year, and he's playing exceptionally well. And that kind of flies in the face of everything that you normally hear about a guy moving from the right to the left and inside to outside. And so I'm just wondering if you got a take on that. And thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Chris. Appreciate the phone call.
I think your question is a good one, and I think that somebody needs to answer that tomorrow if he's here. That would be David Deal. But I guess in my mind, if I had to say one thing about it, is that these guys practice so much at different positions because they need to, because they're so thin that they have to understand to play. So I think over the last few years, Justin Pugh has had a chance to really get to be coached well at the position, and two, being able to been thrown in the heat of a game and understand. Plus, you know what? It's all about self-scouting and understanding your position and fundamentals and how you can improve and studying your opponent. And I think that Justin's done a nice job at that. I'm almost thinking in my mind that this is going to stay the same the rest of the season.
Well, the other thing that I was going to add is we often forget Pugh was pretty banged up early in his career, and that's a good point, like any other position, Jeff, is going to impact your
production.
Oh,
there's no question.
So you can't dismiss that. I mean, I'm bringing up just his breakdown. Right tackle was his main position in 13 and 14, but if you go back, he missed two games in 14 because he wasn't fully healthy for the majority of the season. Then they draft Eric Flowers, and that changes, you know, where they put him. He ultimately was moved to left guard because he was looked at as a versatile player compared to everybody else on the roster. But I think that health is a big factor. He's been healthy this season. I mean, even last year, he missed a handful of games because he suffered the knee injury midway through the season. So, you know, don't overlook when a player is healthy and he's going to likely perform at a high level. I think that's a big reason why maybe you're seeing more consistency out of him now that he's back at right tackle compared to where he was in 13 and 14.
And a little bit more experience, too. You know, I mean, the speed of the game, how to prepare in the National Football League opposed to when he was his first and second year player. You know, a big learning curve. You look at Bobby Hart, you look at Eric Flowers, those guys are still learning. In fact, Justin Pugh is still learning, but there's no substitute for experience. I can tell you that right now, no matter what position it is.
Let's head back to the phone
lines. Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate the phone call, Chris. 201-939-4513. Charles is in New Mexico. Charles, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing all right, Charles. What do you got for us?
Hey, you know what? What a great team effort. Like you said, Jeff, it was amazing last night sitting here. And I'm in dead center Bronco Cowboy territory, so it's good. Not that the Bronco fans are bad like the Cowboy fans, but a team effort. But let me tell you something, whose stock rose huge last night, and you've hit on it. Justin Pugh did a great job against one of the best pass rushers in the league last night. It was amazing what he did to Marshall. I mean, his technique was great. The whole offensive line was amazing. Watching that game, I mean, I was stunned. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it was great, balanced offensively and defensively. It was a great effort.
What I liked about watching the game, and you tell me if you had the same feeling, is that we have been watching these Giants football games up for the last month of the season, and it's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Every single game, it just seems so difficult. Last night, it was pleasant, easy on the eyes, easy on the stomach, easy on everything to watch this game last night.
Yeah.
That is real football. Okay, now, are the Giants going to play that way every single week? No, but I can tell you that if they resemble anything that the way that they played last night going forward, they're going to be in every game. Okay,
yeah,
because, and then real quickly, if you look at the Giants in the last four games, okay, they have been in every single one of these games. Okay, with except coming into this game, they lost three games for 10 points total. Okay, so, you know, the offense is getting going. The first 2 weeks was horrible, but they're starting to run the football. They're scoring more than 20 points a game, and finally the defense has come to play.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, my kids and my wife are usually, you know, the stress factor's high for me. They're like, wow, Dad's been quiet tonight, and, you know. Yeah, but tonight will be a different story. You know, when the Yankees take the field, we'll be under stress. But way to go, Giants. Thank you guys for the call, and you guys have a great day.
Hey, great,
you as well,
Charles. Thank you so
appreciate
much.
The phone call.
We appreciate
so much
that. A lot of West Coast love this morning.
Absolutely. After a relatively, well, it's an early night for them compared to our night because they had the game finish at a reasonable time. But I wanted to get back to the point that you brought up, Jeff, in terms of how this team has played so many close games. And I was focusing on that in the week leading up to this Broncos game. And, you know, everybody looks at record in the NFL. Okay, the team was 0-5. But then when you take it into consideration, you know, you lose to the Eagles on a 61-yard field goal. You lose to the Bucs on a 30-plus-yard field goal from Nick Folk. And then the Chargers game also went down to the wire. Now, were there things that the Giants needed to clean up in all three of those games?
No question.
Absolutely. Did we see a much more consistent performance last night against the Broncos? Absolutely. But I think it's a little misleading if you were to look at the Giants' 0-5 record and say that they weren't competitive and weren't in the games. They were in the games. They just could not find a way to be consistent in their execution to close things out. They did that last night.
And McAdoo, in his press conference last night, he said it. He said, we're an 0-5. We were an 0-5 team, but we're not a bad football team. And that really sums it up, what you just said. Their record says they're 0-5, but they're not a bad football team. They just have made some bad plays and have had some bad playing out of certain players. Okay, when you go from on the line, you know, down from you know, Eli early in the season. I mean, I think Eli's playing the last 4 weeks. Eli's been dynamite. Then if you just start going down the line and look at the players, you have Brad Wing tanking two punts, okay? You got Eli Apple not playing the way he should be. You got Olivier Vernon hurt. You just go down the line, and it just goes back to what you said. This team could easily be better than it is now. Their record could be better, but it is what it is. They got to play out of the hole and just take it one game at a time, and, you know, who knows what can happen. I think, you know, this team gets a little bit of confidence and rides through. They got a tough opponent coming in, or Seattle. Seattle's not, you know, they don't like to travel across the country and play. And we'll get into, I don't know how much we'll get into the Seattle Seahawks, but we talked a little bit about it last night, Lance. You know, this team is, they got a good defense.
Correct.
But they don't put up a lot of points. And
they had that one outburst against Indianapolis on Sunday night a few weeks ago when they had 46. Outside of that, number of low-scoring affairs within the teens. But if you also look, they're not giving up a lot of points, and that's the key. Similar to Denver.
And it's going to be a home game. I think the Giants fans are going to be coming off this great win against Denver where nobody gave them a chance to win and, you know, get all the people in the stands. The Seahawks always bring a good they have a good crowd. They have a lot of people that are Seahawks fans, including, believe it or not, one of my sons is a Seahawks fan. Now, he was born in Seattle.
Well, it's understandable considering your connection to that
organization. I mean, he was born in Seattle while I was playing for the Seahawks, and his favorite player was Sean Alexander. And he got a jersey, so he's a diehard Eagles or Seahawks fan.
Over you, Sean Alexander. Over you.
Well, yeah. Can you believe it? That's just the way he is. In fact, do you know that when we went to the Super Bowl in 2007, he was rooting for the Patriots.
Really?
Yeah.
But what does that come about from?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know because it's an NFC team. It was in the Super Bowl. And, you know, he wanted
so
the NFC
Seattle
team.
Was his team, so he didn't want to see another NFC team win.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now, again, I think he was in fourth grade at the time, but still.
But still, you would think
but
he has to get his
priorities
straight.
But to this day,
he's
still a Seahawks fan.
Well, I give him credit for this, for sticking with the team, though. Because, you know, most kids, when they're young, they connect themselves to one team, and then as they grow up, they change their mind. So I give him credit for sticking with Seattle.
But that's, if you don't know, my son Trevor, that's how he rolls. He's always the black sheep. He's the one that doesn't go with the – he's just – if I say it's black, he says it's white. No
he's
question.
Unique. He's on his own island in terms of his decision-making. So is he going to be coming to the Seattle game, given the fact that
– I don't think so. He's down in Baltimore. He goes to college down there, so it's I don't think he's going to be able to make it up.
All right. Well, we will continue to monitor those developments moving forward. It's a tough matchup for the Feagles family this week. The alliance with Seattle, the alliance with the Giants. One other point I wanted to make to get back to what we were talking about, close games. The Chargers, the team they played last week. So the Chargers lose their first four games of the season, Jeff, and they lose to the Broncos by 3. They lose to the Dolphins by 2. They lose to the Eagles by 2. And what do? They beat the Giants by 5, and they just came off yesterday. They beat the Raiders by 1. So that's another team that you look at their record. They're 0-4. Lost a lot of close games. What did they do the last 2 weeks? Found a way to close out close games.
They're 2-4 now, and you know, that's how you claw yourself back. Yeah, and you know, when you really look at the National Football League, any team can win on a Sunday nowadays. The parity in this league is ridiculous now. I mean, it really is across the board. I mean, now you look at the injury to Aaron Rodgers. Man, that division is wide open now. I mean, wide open.
And Teddy Bridgewater may be coming back from Minnesota.
You know, and Detroit's never out of it with Stafford if he's healthy. They're never out of it. In Minnesota, like you said, Minnesota, the guys, you know, Bridgewater may be coming back. So anything can happen on Sunday. Well,
certainly it's going to change and fluctuate week to week, as we have learned over the course of the years. We don't necessarily need this season to prove that. Let's head back to the lines. Travis is in Queens. Travis, what's happening?
Lance and Steaks, how you guys doing?
What's up, Travis?
All right, Travis, what do you got for us?
Hey, nothing. Yesterday it was a great win. I love watching to see the offensive line, you know, like their hands in the ground more so in this game. And even last game too, you know. So to see more of that was a good mix up. But my question is, what is like the chances? I know it's slim of the Giants making the playoff, but I think I recall one of you guys saying a few weeks ago that they're not out of it yet. So what So what
well,
are their chances?
No team has ever made the playoffs when they've started 0-5. So, I mean, I think that should tell you a lot. And I don't think the team's mindset is necessarily looking at the playoff positioning right now. They needed to win a game. They accomplished that, Travis. What they do moving forward, we have to wait and see because – as impressive as the victory was yesterday, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, this team has still been up and down. So, you know, what do they bring to the table against Seattle? It's going to be another tough defense. If they can run the ball again against another respectable defense and protect the football and the defense gets off the field, you know, then you could start saying that this team is capable of perhaps building upon the wins and getting back to a respectable record. But, I mean, I think we're really getting ahead of ourselves, Travis, in terms of the legitimacy and the chances of getting into the postseason, mainly because there's so many games left. You know, the Eagles are 5-1, so they have built a tremendous amount of distance between themselves and the rest of the division. And, you know, it's hard to get a gauge of what the wild card record is going to be in order to get into the playoffs. Are you going to need nine wins? Are you going to need 10? It's very difficult to tell.
And there has been teams that have been 7-9 and in the division have made the playoffs, but that's not going to happen in the NFC East this year with the Eagles being 5-1. So when you talk about how the Giants could make the playoffs, it's going to be a wild card. Okay. Then you got to look within the conference and what other divisions that these other, I mean, they have to fall apart. These other teams have to fall apart.
Yeah, they need
and
help.
The Giants have to seriously, basically, I mean, win out. I mean, almost.
Right.
So, very difficult task, and they dug the hole. Now they have to get out of it, and I think to get back to respectability. And as I said earlier, you know, when you're 0-5, the organization is starting to look at what is on the roster and starting to evaluate next year. That's the mindset.
Okay, and one more thing about Victor Cruz. You don't think there's no chance that they pick him up?
No, none.
Wow. All right. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
You got it, Travis. Appreciate the phone call.
I mean, Victor Cruz, I think that, you know, there was a reason why he left here, and I think that there's a reason why he's not on a roster, is that, unfortunately, Victor's time has run out. I mean, his health, and he's just not – he can't be that productive, and I think that it's some point in everybody's career this happens, and this is what's happening to Victor Cruz now.
Well, and it's related to what you just said momentarily ago, the fact that they're looking to evaluate and develop players, Jeff. So here's the thing. You bring back Victor Cruz, even if we take this to a hypothetical approach, you know that he's only going to be here in the short term. He's not in your long-term plans.
No.
Roger Lewis and Tavares King, who both made the team last year. And Travis Rudolph, you know, these are players that they could maybe hold on to provide depth moving forward. So I think just from a big picture perspective, it makes a lot more sense
Great
to see
point.
What these guys can do for the remainder of the season than to argue bringing in a veteran who may have some familiarity with the system, but let's face it, is probably not going to be in the long-term plans for this team.
It doesn't help anything. It really doesn't.
Gaining anything from that.
And not only this, even though he knows the system, so do the other guys. And you know what? Even though he's 30-something years old, the other guys aren't. So, and as far as the developmental stage, that these guys are in a developmental stage. They've just been – it's been hyper-extended. Like, it's gone super fly. You're now on the reactive roster, okay?
Back
your development now has been sped up quite a bit. So, go out there and study your playbook and let's go, boy. You know, and so that's kind of where they're at. And I think that's a good point that you make, that Victor Cruz was really not – it wouldn't be an advantage to have him here. Now, if this team was – you know, in the running for a Super Bowl, and they needed a guy, a veteran that you could rely on and you'd get you through, you know, maybe half the season and know that that's going to be it. Yeah, maybe. But I think that you hit the nail on the head. Is from a developmental standpoint, these other guys are being evaluated. They want to get them some time.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, what's
up? Yo,
happening?
Drew, what's up, man?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lance. How you guys doing, man? It's been a minute since I talked to you.
I know.
Nice,
we missed you. Thanks for reconnecting here.
Yeah, well, you know, I only call in certain times. Hey, man, let me make some statements real quick, man. Then I'm going to just get off the phone, man. First and foremost, we're fighting for respectability, not playoffs.
Correct.
Last night was a great win. Honestly, I'm not going to tell you no lie. Money-wise, I wouldn't have put any money on this team on that win last night. But in a funny kind of way, and I really, truly mean this, doesn't surprise me that they won this game because, honestly, to me, I thought the factor would be Simeon, their quarterback. You know, I didn't particularly like his play anyway, and I thought if the Giants' defense showed up, they could win this game.
That's fair.
But that's taking nothing away from the team, I promise you, because I love the fight that they put up last night. So everybody came to play. Kudos to them. Other thing I want to say real quick, Tuma mentioned this last week after the loss to San Diego, and I actually believe it 1,000%. He basically said, now we get to see Coach McAdoo and how he coaches and handles things from here. Little did we know DRC was going to be in that picture as well, too. But I will tell you right now, I'm not a fan of Coach McAdoo's anyway. But here's his thing. I am giving him his credit. He showed tremendous, you know, he showed tremendous heart and, coaching last night by him making all of these changes. And, you know, for this season, it worked. So I'm happy to see that. Kudos to him, and I just hope moving forward we can continue to do that. Lastly, I'm going to say we need to develop Evan Engram, being that we have all of our main receivers out, and I feel like this is a great time to do that. And then last thing I am going to say, guys, is I'm growing a pair of Giants and Yankee fans, because I'm a two-time grandfather within a 13-month period.
Very nice.
There you go. Congratulations.
Well, congrats on that, Drew. Hey, good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah, you take care.
You got it.
Well, I think that the first thing in life alone, when you need to make changes, the first thing you got to do is look at yourself. And so I think the Coach McAdoo did that. I think he said, what do I need to do to change to help this football team? And if it's handling the place over to somebody else, that's good. If it's installing some more discipline on this team, then that's good too, because I believe that it was needed. A lot of times you don't like to make an example of somebody, but if that person has to be made of an example, if the conduct is detrimental to the team, then things have to be taken care of. And I think that sends a message in the right way. Of course, it wasn't, greatly received in the locker room because guys didn't know a lot about it. But the fact is that sometimes, it's not your business. You have a job to do. We're paying you to come and play. Now you play and go on, and we'll just explain this to you guys later. And they did. They went out to Denver and won a football game in extreme circumstances all week, distractions after you-know-what. They went and were able to focus and go on the road and win. I think it was a good thing that they went on the road this week. I really do.
Get away. Yes. Get out of New York. I think sometimes that could re-energize a team. No doubt about that. And also, I'm looking at it from, DRC suspended. Well, Eli Apple gets more playing time because he's back in the mix after they were mixing and matching him. And he goes out there and has one of his most complete performances this season.
Well, don't forget that, he got benched the first three series of the last game. So, he had something to prove.
But the DRC suspension almost opened the door for him to redeem himself, is what I'm saying.
I guess so, yeah.
And sometimes you have to look at that as a player. Maybe you're not happy that a teammate is not with you, but you know what? That's now giving you an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Ed Egan put it in perspective. When the media was talking to Ed Egan, they were asking him about, all the wide receivers are injured, and he said, listen, I feel terrible for the guys, but also, if they don't get hurt, I'm not in this opportunity right now to move up.
It's a tough answer.
It's a tough answer, but you know what? It's a reasonable answer.
And I will tell you this, okay? And my wife, she's we've been married 30 years. She's been around football all her life. She knows football, I'm telling you. She knows football. I came in this morning and she said to me, oh, I see the Giants won. I said, yeah, can you believe it? She goes, did you just ask me, do I believe it? Of course I believe it. I'm like, oh, yeah. And she goes, you know what? I just get tired of hearing. This is her speaking now. She goes, I get tired of people saying how they never give teams a chance. All these guys are professional athletes. All these guys are good players. You think that this team just fell off the turnip job and they're horrible now? She said, I had complete faith that they were going to turn it around, and they can go and play, and anybody can beat anybody on any Sunday. And before she got going into it, I said, I got to go.
I just did a show myself. I'm exhausted.
but that's my point, is that, these are good players. The roster, a guy like Ed Egan, he's earned his way onto the roster because of injuries, but that's the nature of the beast. That's how this league works. Listen. Opportunity at its best, okay? And timing is everything in the National Football League. I'm a prime example of timing. When I came into the National Football League as an undrafted rookie, free agent, off the street, go up to New England, they wanted to make a change because their punter was making too much money. That's timing. I wasn't making nothing. They just said, "Here, come on in for a cup of coffee, and we might throw you a donut every Tuesday or whatever. But if you want
to
play for us, go ahead. Here you go." And that's just opportunity. You make the best of it. And Ed Egan is a classic example. You know, these guys got hurt, and I feel bad for them. But my God, I'm out here trying to just be one of those guys.
Absolutely. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. Amari is in Atlanta.
Amari. Hey, Amari.
What's happening?
Hey, Lance, Jeff. Great win on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Really just, like, I haven't felt like this at all. Like, haven't had a work week start like this at all.
I know, right?
This season, so.
I don't think you're alone in that category, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
it's uncharted territory this year.
But so one quick statement and then two quick questions that I'll take off the air. One being, like, so at the start of the game, we heard that McAdoo was relinquishing the play-calling duties.
Yep.
And I'm sure everyone was just super ecstatic about that. But even though the play calling did change, what I think won us the game is that everyone executed. Like,
yeah.
We have these amazing players, and they literally everyone executed at a high level. The run game was going. I think we only let Von Miller have one sack on Eli. Like, that's crazy. Great punts, great special team play. You know, the sacks, the interceptions, everything. Everyone was just playing like how we expected them to play, which that's not the play calling. That's just, you know, guys getting in there
doing
their job.
That's good football.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the perfect example is, you know, Damon Snacks Harrison, the pocket collapses.
Yeah.
Simeon runs out of the pocket. Snacks, relentless, brings him down. Darian Thompson, there was a play where, I forget which Denver player, he cut back Thompson, stayed disciplined, brought him down. I mean, those were the things that players sometimes were in position over the first five games.
They just weren't making tackles.
Yeah.
The tackles, missed tackles all around.
That was
tackling
one
was
of the
better
biggest
last
differences.
Game.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. It's fundamental football. It's assignments. It's execution. That's it. If you do all those three things, you're going to win football games because you're not turning the ball over, you're making tackles on defense, you're making plays, and that's the way that the game is supposed to play. When you get away from those things, defensively, if you can't make tackles and you can't get takeaways and you're giving up 150 yards rushing a game, that's how you're going to lose games. It just doesn't happen. So they put it all together last night.
What else you got, Amari?
All right. So two quick questions. Do you guys think that this is going to be the new form of the offense, like just feeding Evan Engram and trying to run the ball? Because personally, it was a bit concerning that I think our receivers only caught five total balls. And granted, it's Denver, so I'm not sure if this was a function of it being versus Denver or this is what our offense is going to look like going forward.
I think that this offense has to evolve into a little bit more each week because of what happened. You got to understand, the Giants lost three starting players from receiving positions.
Yeah.
I mean, guys that went on IR and high-octane players. Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Harris. These guys are very productive. And to have these younger guys, so to answer your question, I think the offense will start to evolve. I think the receivers will get back into the game a little bit. But thank God that you have an outlet like Evan Engram that you can get him involved in the game, because not only is he a good tight end, he's so fast and he's like a big receiver, you know. So that's a good thing. And then you got the injection of the running game. So I do think you'll see this offense be the same way going forward, but little facets of it improving and adding on to it as you go.
Yeah, I think from what we've seen in the two games prior to Denver, they certainly want to lean on the run game. But remember, they led from start to finish in this game, Amari. Let's not overlook that. And that's a big reason
they
why.
Scored on their first possession for
correct.
The first time this season.
So
too.
They had the luxury of pounding the football, playing with the lead.
Yes.
That changes all of a sudden play calling and decision making. You just can't dismiss that. And also, as far as the numbers, receptions wise to the receivers, Eli Manning only threw the ball 19 times. So there weren't really a lot of at-bats in this game. Now, I'm not saying that now Roger Lewis and Tavares King are going to be catching seven passes a game. That's not the point I'm making, but there's going to be games that Eli's going to have to double the amount of throws that he had last night, which means more opportunities for the receivers to, I think, at least help the cause of Evan Engram.
And they got their at-bats. And you heard Coach McAdoo mention, we just need more at-bats. We need more at-bats. And they got them last night. They were able to get at the plate and be able to hit some singles.
Absolutely. All right, Amari, appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you, Amari. Have a great afternoon.
Let's hear from Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, the nightmare is over there.
Good morning.
That's the way I look at it, you know, because it does. It affects your – me, I'm a diehard, like lots of them, and the players. And even the players together, I see there in their celebration. I forget what they're saying. It's just us together. Well, it's the fans, too, with you know what I mean? We're there, too. So, you know, but that was a very tough place to play, correct? And they were on a bye, so
yeah. –
You know, it was no fluky game.
We did beat them offensively,
and defensively in the line.
Denver was fully healthy. Denver was coming off a bye. Denver has one of the best defenses in the NFL. I mean, if people want to discredit this win, that's fine. They're entitled to, but I don't really think there was an overwhelming excuse for the Broncos to say they were missing this guy or they didn't have 100% health in certain areas. They pretty much brought their entire team to Denver coming off the bye, and the Giants outplayed them in pretty much every facet of football.
Right. It's just like somebody just turned on the light switch for the Giants, honest to God. And it's there, and that's what's so frustrating and has me mad and upset because we should have been in all these games, and I really think that.
Well, but Joe, I don't mean to cut you off, but see, I think we're overlooking the Giants were in the previous games.
You can't say they weren't.
They just didn't close out the games. It's misleading to me to say, you know, where was this for the previous games? The execution wasn't there, but they were competitive.
Let's not forget about that. Big thing. I think a big thing was the game plan and playing it cautious. Even earlier, like Dallas had that first – the game plan we had last night, Dallas had that the first game against us. They played cautiously in that because they were really worried about our defense. They ran the ball, didn't make mistakes, and that's how they beat us really and truly. And we just went out there, I think, these first few games, and we thought our offensive line was just going to block no problems, and the defense made – goofy mistakes, the penalties, the kicking game, it all threw it in. And last night it just all went away. Even the breaks, there, Dark were there, the reviews there. His knee was down. We got that one. That one on the goal line stance there that they couldn't see it. He may have cracked the goal line. He may have, but it went our way. You know,
it was a very close play. You're talking about the running play by C.J. Anderson. Yeah, one angle looked as if he may have gotten across. The other angles, it was very difficult to tell. That's why
right.
I think the officials made the right decision. I don't think there was enough evidence to overturn the call
under the circumstances. I said even the breaks went our way, but it just shows and proves we do have it, and that you know what I mean. That we should have won some of them games. So that's all I want to say, and I'm very happy. And we you know, we got to take it one game at a time, like Jeff said, and you know evolve from there. You know, it's just one game at a time. So thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Joe. Appreciate
your
phone call.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to sum things up because if the Giants found a way to close out some of their other games, you know, the record is different. So is this an indication, Jeff, of what's yet to come moving forward, or are they going to reverse back to some of their old habits? I think it's still way too early to tell after one solid performance this season.
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, we'll see how these guys come back and work. Because we'll see how they come back and practice this week. I mean, do they rest in their laurels? Hey, we went up there and beat a team we weren't supposed to. Now we're all high and almighty. You're 1-5. Okay, so you still got a lot of ways to go. You build on the momentum of winning this game, but you got to understand how you got there. And it was a good week of preparation. It was good focus. And that you went on the road and imposed your will against a team that was supposed to beat the snot out of you. All right, take all that into consideration when you go to practice and go to work this week. Okay, put that all behind you, but take a little what away from how you got to win the game last week. Carry that over to 2 weeks in a row. And as Coach McAvoy would do is they start stacking some wins. Okay, get back to some respectability one game at a time.
Let's head back to the phone lines, and we check in with Sally in Maine. Sally, what's happening?
This is Charlie in Maine.
Charlie in Maine. Okay, well.
Hello, Sally.
You know what? You've been called Sally many times before.
I got so excited that we had another caller from Maine that I was actually going to ask Sally if she was from Portland and she knew Charlie. And this now completely disappoints me because it's you, Charlie. Can't tell you. We were on such a high to start this program, and you just bring it down.
Let me break this down for you, this game. The reason why we won this game, one of the biggest reasons is because we gave the play calling from McAdoo, we gave it to Sally,
okay,
which was about time. And we had 72% was our two tight end, and we were able to run the ball. And the reason why we were able to run the ball, because we finally put in the best offensive lineman to be able to do that, like Fuker at right guard, like Pugh at right tackle, Jones at center. That was the reason why we – and the thing is, like just like you said, Eli only threw the ball 19 times. So there wasn't a lot of chance for pass rushing when you're only throwing the ball 19 times.
You don't put it in harm's way, too.
The week before with the Chargers, you know, Pugh didn't look so good. Why didn't he look so good and we had five sacks on the whole offensive line? Was because we were passing like twice as much and we couldn't run the ball. Whereas this week, we were able to run the ball.
Well, wait a minute, Charlie. They ran the ball 25 times for 152 yards against the Chargers for over 6 yards per carry. And Manning did throw double the amount of times, so I'll give you that. So the ball is in a little bit more of harm's way.
We didn't stick to the run, though, like we did this week.
Well, that's not what you said, Charlie.
What I'm saying is, let's not anoint, you know, Pugh as an all-pro because he only gave up one sack. There was a reason for that. And the reason was because Eli only threw it 19 times. And the other thing is, if I was Denver, I would have put Miller on the other side and go against Flowers. I think it might have been a little different result. But I'm glad we won, and the reason we won is because we could run the ball, and we finally, McAdoo gave up the play calling. That was the big reason why we won. And I just hope he continues to give it up and let Sully do it and just be a head coach.
Charlie, you got to give a little bit of kudos to the way the defense played. I mean, I know that the Giants ran the football, and that was a big part of the equation.
That's what I'm saying. Why the defense played better? They weren't on the field all the time because we had the time of possession in the game because we could run the ball.
Yep.
That made the whole difference to the defense.
And I'll tell you what, if there's ever a time you want to keep your defense off the field, it's when you're playing at a mile-high altitude.
Exactly.
Because if you're going
to
run somebody into the ground, it's hard. I mean, even when I was kicking back in the day and I playing in Mile High, I was sucking some air there. It was
you were on the oxygen.
I'm telling you, man, it is. Yeah. It's up there. Love the
you
ball.
You must have got a 70-yard punt.
Oh man, the balls! When you kick them up there, they don't. It seems like they don't even come down. They're just like they're up there and they're just like gliders. They really are. So thank you, Charlie.
All right, Charlie.
Okay, guys.
No,
take
thank
care.
You. Thank you, Sally. We appreciate
the Sally.
Phone call. Yeah.
Sally.
Our apologies.
Sally from Maine.
We'll be referring to you for your proper name.
That's that crazy accent he's got that our producer couldn't figure out. This is Sally. Sally.
Charlie
so
becomes
Charlie
Sally.
Charlie and
on this
Sally.
Program.
The way he says, this is Sally.
Oh.
That sounded like Sally.
Anytime we can have fun at Charlie's expense, we're never going to turn down the opportunity. I want to get to a few tweets before we wrap up the program because we have a lot of activity on Twitter and we probably should do a better job in terms of involving those who can't get to the phone. Seth, criticism of my own. All right, Ben at Gruen. Ben, finally no major mistakes. Ran the ball very well early. Defense showed up against what he calls a pedestrian quarterback. Good win. At AJ Marshall, 3. Darkwa back-to-back weeks had a good game. He should remain the starter next game. I don't think there's any question.
No, you're not taking him out of there.
And Darkwa has been on the field to start.
Yeah, I mean, Perkins been hurt.
So I would assume that they're going to stay with him. I don't think anybody is necessarily wondering what's going on in terms of the running game.
We don't need a running back controversy.
Correct. I think he's provided some stability at that position. So that's something to certainly take a look at. Let me just take a glance at a few more other tweets. I know a lot of people are chiming in on a variety of different topics. Let's see here. What else we got? Ricker at Ricker 81. Why didn't we run the ball like that when we were getting played two high safeties the last 2 years, the extra tight end, and then let Eli snap from under center? So he's basically throwing in some of the changes in terms of the offensive alignment, why it was successful against the Denver Broncos, which I think a lot of people are trying to figure out, because Denver was a very well-disciplined defense. So the fact that it was so effective against this defense perhaps at least calls for the Giants to go back to the drawing board a little bit here.
Yeah, and listen, the Giants just played a good game and the Broncos didn't. I mean, that's just the way it comes down to it. You know, so you have your good days and your bad days, and fortunately for the Giants, they had a good day against a good defense. You can't just throw everything the Broncos did out the window and say, ah, they're not that good of a defense. I mean, they had a good sample size, if we would say, for the statistics going into that game.
Absolutely.
They basically were shutting the run down, and they were good on third down. They were good scoring. I mean, everything about that defense, and the Giants just shut them down.
All right, so the Giants get their first victory of the season, 23-10 over the Broncos in Denver. They're now going to return home to host Seattle on Sunday. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday the rest of the week at noon Eastern to set the table for the final game before the bye week. We appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Have a good one.